Blog Talk Radio.
The time will come when all men will stand on the shore of their own country. The time will come when all the world will know who we are. Mm-hmm.
We are.
We are.
We are.
We are God's people, God's children. Yes, we are. Calls
Appreciate your faithfulness, yeah. You care for me without complaint. Always seem to be the right question, but no one knew. I searched through the archive and it wasn't there until I read. I was in the dark until I read. The serpent held my heart until I read. Ignorance led the way until I read.
Taking my name, didn't know what to do. afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today, returning to read for me, is one of my favorite readers and also an ABTU student. This is the one, the only, Kevin J. Go ahead, Kevin.
It was about so long. Can you hear me okay?
You're loud and clear, sir.
Perfect, perfect. Hey, man, just want to bless everybody out there at ABT. This is definitely going to be a good one, I can tell. And definitely appreciate you allowing me to read for you another Shabbat. And I guess we got to get ready for this.
Yes, indeed. Praise God, Kevin. Yes, indeed. And, of course, you know, I appreciate you reading for us today, as I'm sure everyone else does. And I look forward to any and all commentary that you may have. And you're going to have something to say about this one. Definitely have something to say about this one. But before we get started, let me first just say hello to everyone on Clubhouse. We are happy that you decided to come out today and study with us. But as usual, I have to remind you that this is not a popcorn-style or free-for-all session right now. This is our Bible study. This is a lesson. What that simply means for you in the listening audience is that if you have any questions or comments, simply hold them until after the study is over. Again, those of you on Clubhouse, if you have any questions or comments, simply hold them until the study is over. Once the study is over, simply raise your hand. Y'all know how Clubhouse works. One of my mods will bring you to the stage, and you can ask any question or make any comments you want, provided you're being respectful. And speaking of respect, I also have to remind those of you in the chat room to keep it respectful. Don't be in the chat room arguing back and forth with each other, trying to start your own lesson in the chat. Don't troll the chat. You know, basic social media etiquette that we should already know. If you fail to adhere to these simple instructions, one of my mods will expel you from the room. And like I told you last week, don't hit me up in the back chat asking me why you were kicked out of the room. I'm pretty sure if you think hard enough, you know why. And also, ask the person who you suspected kick you out. Hit them up in the back chat. On very rare occasions, it could be an accident. I've accidentally kicked somebody out before. But hit them up. And whatever their decision is, it stands. I'm not going to try to overthrow it or go against it unless it was an accident. With that being said, the title of today's class is Wise Counsel. Who's in your ear? Again, today's class is titled Wise Counsel. Who's in your ear? And I figured this was a good topic to get around to because, as usual, this is one of these topics that I see that is never really talked about. See, when it comes to counsel, a lot of people really don't know what it means when the Bible talks about wise counsel. And whether you want to admit it or not, you are taking counsel or being influenced by counsel or giving counsel in some way or another every day. We all are. Unless you're living on an island somewhere by yourself, you are both giving counsel and receiving counsel all the time. If you're talking to people every day, if you're around people every day, you are both giving and receiving counsel. But what I'm starting to notice, which I've always noticed in the real world, on this app, on Clubhouse, this is primarily where we teach from at the moment, is that a lot of people don't know what wise counsel is, and they're not questioning who is in their ear. And for all of y'all who doesn't know what that means, when you say somebody is in your ear, that means that's the person you listen to.
That's the person who's influencing you. And I noticed that a lot of people are not really seeking wise counsel. They're getting counsel, but it's not wise counsel. And one of the worst things you can do is constantly be on the receiving end of counsel, and that counsel is not wise. I'm going to show you in today's class that you may very well have the wrong people in your ear. See, I've been doing this a long time, and I can always tell if somebody is acting independently or if somebody else is in their ear. I've seen people make a complete 180, both in doctrine and in character, just because of who was in their ear. And we all want to believe that, you know, we think for ourselves and we're girls and we make all of our own decisions. It's fun to think that, but that's not true. Human nature dictates that everybody you come in contact with, on a regular basis, of course, human nature dictates that they will have some kind of influence on you. They don't have to say anything to you to be in your ear. The people you associate with, the camp you go to, the church, the mosque, you name it. All of this is a form of counsel. And a lot of you, because you really don't understand the importance of wise counsel, you don't even understand that you got some bad counselors that you're listening to. And they influence you, and before you know it, we don't even recognize you anymore. Because you got all these people in your ear. I used to always say, married sisters, to my married sisters, I used to always tell them, and especially their husbands, yo, don't let your wife have too many single friends. I didn't say any at all. I just said too many. Because a lot of single women are jealous of their own friends' happiness in a marriage. So they will be in your wife's ear giving counsel. And before you know it, that's not even your wife anymore. That's her bitter single friend. And your wife is thinking, oh, this is my best friend. We go back years. I knew her before I knew my husband. Surely she would not try to do anything to sabotage my marriage. She's only trying to help me. I see this a lot. And now this has mutated on this Clubhouse app from one single bitter woman doing that to entire Clubhouse rooms of single bitter women doing that. It's the same thing with the men. In fact, I will go as far as saying men give the most counseling. We influence each other. You got one brother doing his thing, another brother who respects what the other brother is doing, and a third brother who's jealous of the first brother. So he will start counseling, in quotations, the second brother who admires the first brother and turn the second brother against the first brother. I'm going to show y'all examples of stuff like this in the Bible. And everybody just sitting back and not even realizing that 90 to 95% of people on Clubhouse, and this may offend some people, but y'all know, Josh don't care, but 90 to 95% of people on Clubhouse are nothing but the result of bad counseling in their ear. They're not themselves. They're just listening to other people. They think because this person knows some scripture or because this sister knows how to speak very you know, eloquently, that the council is wise. But I've been seeing this happening. I'm telling you, I've seen brothers and sisters change right before my very eyes. And I can always trace it back to who's in their ear. I am very good at this because I've been doing it a long time. I'm not saying that I'm just this inherent, gifted person when it comes to this. If you do anything long enough or observe anything long enough, you're going to master it. That's just how God wired the human body. So I've been doing this a long time. And this is the reason why, like a lot of important things, nobody is talking about wise counsel. So hopefully today, after we get into this, you can answer the question of who's in your ear. Who do you know you listen to? Who do you know, being honest, has an influence over the way you think and act? And then ask yourself, is this some wise counsel that I am receiving? Because a lot of y'all know you're not receiving wise counsel. You know you're receiving counsel and you go to people for counsel, but a lot of y'all know you're not getting wise counsel. I mean, like, you just know it. So what we're going to do, because we're going to keep it very simple like I always do, first, we're going to look up the word counsel. And we're going to go to dictionary.cambridge.org. And we're going to look up counsel. Again, dictionary.cambridge.org. And we're going to look up the word counsel. Because I want everybody to know that you need to ask yourself who is in your ear. So this is what it says for counsel, right? This is as a verb. It says to give advice. That's all counsel primarily means. To give advice, look what it says here, especially on social or personal problems. If you're having trouble in your marriage, that's a personal problem. If you're having trouble on social media, come on, y'all, it's in the name. That's a social problem. So that's what it means. To give counsel is to give advice. And as a noun, counsel is the advice. That's what it means. So when we say wise counsel, all we're saying is wise advice. And then the second part is, who's in your ear? That means who's giving you wise advice, if any at all. Because a lot of y'all are nothing but patients. Y'all are not counselors. You're patients, meaning you're just following the advice of whoever. You don't even question if it's wise or not. You don't. But let me give you some synonym for counsel, right? I love to give people synonyms. What we're going to do, and for whatever reason, I exit this out, but it's all good. We're going to go to Oxford Dictionary, Oxford Languages. That's what it's called online, Oxford Languages. And we're going to give you some synonyms for counsel. Again, this is Oxford Languages. Look what it gives for the synonyms for counsel. The first synonym it gives you is advice, because that's what counsel is. Counselor is somebody who gives advice. But look what else it says. Guidance. Guidance is a synonym. Make sure you pay attention to these synonyms because they sometimes come back later. Direction. Who's directing you? That's a synonym for counsel. Direction. Instruction. Who's instructing you? That goes into the category of teaching. See, every teacher is a counselor, sisters and brothers. Every single one of them. Right? And if you have somebody who you look up to, not necessarily as your teacher, but just somebody in a camp that not necessarily the teacher, but has a high status as knowing stuff, that's one of your counselors too. So it could also mean teacher, It also has a synonym, information. So information is a synonym for counsel. And you can get information from anywhere. What information is influencing you? People go on these apps. They don't even know the people. They just come into the room. And they're being counseled by the information. They're being guided. Look what else it says. Enlightenment. It can also mean enlightenment. Recommendations. You know, somebody recommends something. That's another synonym. This also says suggestions. You're suggesting something, right? Another one is hints. You're like a clue. You're giving people hints. Another synonym is tips. You're giving people tips. You can go online, relationship tips, right? Pointers. Y'all heard it before, man. Give me a few pointers on how you do what you do. That's a synonym for counsel. You also got guidelines. That is also a synonym for counsel. And then my favorite, or one of them, this synonym is ideas. Why do I like this one so much? Because it's in your head. See, that's a form of counsel. That's a form of advice. See, notice not all of these synonyms are as straightforward as advice or guidance. Some of them are a little more subtle, like ideas. Like, where is he getting these ideas from? Who's putting these ideas in his head? Who's guiding him? Who's influencing him or her? That's why you got to ask the question, who's in your ear? Because I've been looking around, and like I said, I've only been on this app maybe a year and 4 months. And even within the year, I've seen both brothers and sisters who, as individuals, they were relatively cool people, both with me and other people. But the second they start clicking up, that's when they start changing. And they're thinking, oh, this is just me. This is a natural evolution in my walk. Is it? Or is somebody in your ear? And it's a shame when somebody makes a 180 in the wrong direction. And like I said, I've seen it happen to brothers and sisters. I've seen some brothers make drastic changes. Like you wouldn't recognize him a year ago when compared to the one you're dealing with today. Like, wow, dude, when did you become this, just this evil? You'd be such a cool brother. Now you just live to stir up strife, to attack people, to insult people. What happened? Maybe somebody was in his ear or somebody's, right? So now that we got the synonyms and things out of the way, now let's go to the scriptures. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Many people have read this, but let me show you what it's saying in some context. You know, Psalm is the most famous book in the Bible as far as among both Christians and Jews. That's the and Hebrews, they share that. You know, Christians love the book of Psalm. And ain't nothing wrong with that. It's a book of literal songs and prayers, encouragement, teaching. Psalms is like the whole package. Well, are we really paying attention to what Psalm is telling us? Or are we just going through the motions reading it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you really know what that means? Right? Like, we got to memorize, but do we really know what it means? Is it really speaking to us? But this is Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to read it in other translations so y'all can see what this is saying. Psalm 1, verse 1. Read, please.
Psalm 101. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Again, this is one of the most popular psalms in the book of Psalms. And it's Psalm 1 and 1. is the very first thing David opens up with. That's always important when you're reading a book. My own philosophy, personally, when I'm reading a book, if it's giving some type of self-help tips or advice, I always look at the first thing said, the thing said like right in the middle, and the thing at the end. That's typically how it's going to be laid out in almost every book, if it's like a book of advice. First thing out their mouth, the thing in the middle at the peak, and the thing at the end. So notice that the first thing David says is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We know when we looked it up, counsel means advice. So David is saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the advice of the ungodly. We're going to prove that. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Way means path, road. So you're not standing in the path or on the path of sinners. This is just another way of saying that you don't associate with wicked people. You don't click up with them. You don't let them influence you. We're going to prove it, right? Nor sit up in the seat of the scornful, to scorn people. And I often wonder if anybody on this app knows what that means, because we're not supposed to be doing it. Scorn someone means to insult them, mock them, make fun of them. I see a lot of brothers and sisters doing that. That is a sin. We're not supposed to be doing that. Well, Josh, you call people stupid all the time. That's not an insult. That's an observation. It's only an insult if it's not true. And if I can prove that you are stupid, that's an observation. That is me observing your intellectual level and coming to the conclusion that it is below average, well below average. But it would be an insult if somebody was not stupid and I called them that. But I've seen people really insult people. They talk about personal stuff. How is it that a discussion over whether Jesus is God or not turns to you wanting to pull up on me and beat me down? How does a discussion like that turn into you calling me all kinds of racial slurs? I'm talking from other black people, y'all. White people ain't never did this to me. And I see people do it to each other. Talk about people's personal appearances, talking about people's personal lives. It says, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That means you don't hang around people who do that stuff. But don't make me start pulling up replays in other people's rooms and start screenshotting the stuff that I see in the chat from so-called righteous men and women. Y'all scornful as hell. And this is Psalm 1:1. First chapter, first verse. But let me show y'all how this reads in other translations. We're going to read the same thing, but we're going to read it in the ERV, which is the easy-to-read version. Psalm 1:1. I want y'all to pay attention to this. I want y'all to understand that we don't supposed to be doing this. No, not the ERV, my bad. We're going to do the GW. That's the God's Words translation. Let me make that change right here. The GW. This is Psalm 1:1. In the GW, that stands for God's Words translation, look what it says. Blessed is the person who does not follow the advice of wicked people. That is the first thing David says, Kevin. Is blessed is the person that does not follow the advice of wicked people. That tells me that there are wicked people out here giving advice.
Giving advice.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? But look what else it says. Take the path of sinners or join the company of mockers. That means you hang around people who mock, scorn, and insult other people. That's your clique. That's your group. That's your camp. How does all that happen, though? You're around them. You associate with them. That's why it says, blessed is the person who does not follow the advice of wicked people. I see a lot of y'all follow the advice of wicked people. How can you say that, Josh? You don't know what goes on off the app. You don't know who I talk to. I don't got to see who you talk to. I don't even got to hear a single word from them to you. All I got to do is come on Clubhouse and see that you're always in their rooms, you're always in their audience, you're always posting in their chat, and then I follow you when you're doing your own thing, and I see you're acting just like them now. And you didn't act like that at first. That means you were following the advice of wicked people. Who's in your ear? So it says in the God's Word translation, blessed is the person who does not follow the advice of wicked people. Take the path of sinners or join the company of mockers. Kevin J., do you see a lot of people on this app mocking and insulting other people? Do you see that?
All the time.
And the only kind of rooms we're in are Bible-based rooms. Am I right?
Right.
So why is it in the Bible-based rooms that's where we see the most scorners and mockers? You know why? Because a lot of people don't know who's in their ear. They ain't thinking about it. But let me show you how this reads in the ISV or International Standard Version. Psalm 1 and 1. How blessed is the person who does not take the advice of the wicked. Is how blessed is the person that don't take the advice of the wicked. Again, that means that the wicked is out here giving advice, y'all. And you don't even understand or realize that the wicked is in your ear. Now remember, one of the synonyms for counsel was instruction, which means teachings. So you got a lot of teachings in your ear that you're taking and being influenced by. But look what else it says. Who does not stand on the path with sinners and who does not sit in the seat of mockers. All that means is that you don't associate with wicked people who insult, make fun of, and mock other people. And that's all I see on this app for the most part. Not everybody.
Yeah.
That's all I see. And you sitting right up there with them on their stage. Well, I'm just on the stage. They ain't got nothing to do with me. You're literally sitting with them on this app. You're supposed to be up in there. The second the conversation turns to people personally insulting people, if you can, you should try to be some kind of mediator to de-escalate it, if you can. If you can't, it's time to find another room. But y'all sit right there. And then next thing you know, man, I don't know how I started acting like that. That ain't even how I usually act, Josh. I don't know what made that come up out of me. You are listening to the advice of the wicked. Not directly. I don't got to come to Kevin J and be like, yo, Kevin J, I come on Clubhouse, I curse people out, I make fun of wives, husbands. I don't got to directly say that to him. All I have to do is take him everywhere I go and do it in front of him. That's another way of advising people. Y'all do know you can give advice by example, right? Y'all do know that, right? I don't got to literally or verbally tell him anything. But I'm still in his ear. Because he's still listening to me. I don't have to be directly talking to you for you to listen to me. I'm doing a class right now. I'm not directly talking to any of you, not like on a personal level. But you're listening to me, aren't you? See, y'all got to wake up, man. These people are playing games. But now let's move on. Psalm 1 and 1 told you, 13 days said, blessed is the man or the person that does not take advice from the wicked. That spoke to me that that's the first thing on his mind when he first decided to start reading the song, writing songs. Look, man, let me tell you off the gate. Blessed is the man that does not take the advice of the wicked. Let me get that on out the way now. Right? Who's in your ear? Now, we're going to Proverbs 11. See, I see a lot of people being other people's ear. And you don't even realize it. But we're supposed to have counselors. I'm not telling nobody you don't supposed to have counselors. No, the Bible actually says the opposite. You're supposed to have counselors, wise counselors. This is Proverbs 11. One verse, verse 14. Proverbs 11 and 14. Y'all better understand this stuff. Go ahead and read, please.
This is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is Satan.
Is that where no counsel, meaning advice, guidance, where no counsel is, the people fall. What does fall mean? That means you go down, you fail. You don't achieve what you're going for, right? It says, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Counselors mean advisors. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But what kind of counselors is Proverbs talking about? It's talking about wise counselors, not just anybody. So we just read in Psalm, you don't supposed to take the advice of the wicked. So Proverbs is telling you, you're supposed to surround yourself with wise counselors, because wise counselors give wise counsel, wise advice, wise guidance. But a lot of you are lost. You really think you can go in these rooms and not be affected by this stuff. You are lying to yourself. It's human nature. If you subject yourself to anything long enough, it's going to influence you. Stop thinking you are impervious to this, because you are not. That's why when I go in rooms and the conversation starts to get stupid, I look for the nearest exit, because I don't want to be affected by that. So you're supposed to surround yourself with wise advisors, because where there is no advice, the people fail. I'm going to show you that the Bible tells you don't do anything at all without getting advice first. Like nothing. Wise counsel is very important. But who's in your ear? Is it a wise counselor, a wise advisor, or just some nut? This is the reason why when people come on my stage and I see them getting stupid, I dismiss them, because I don't want them in your ear. I will admit that. But it's not because I'm afraid that they're going to expose me. I'm doing my job, because I consider myself a wise counselor. So I do what is the best thing recommended. Get these fools out of here. But now let's move on. Still in the book of Proverbs, let's go to chapter 12. See, this is the reason why a lot of this stuff just so wild out here today, both on and off this app, because nobody is asking the most important question of all: who's in my ear? Who's influencing me? Who's advising me? You are a married woman. You're having some problems in your relationship. Nothing wrong with that. It happens to everybody. It's normal. Why are you listening to your single, bitter girlfriend? I'm not saying don't get any advice at all. I'm just saying don't get advice from her. You follow what I'm saying? People at ABP will tell you, people who are older than me, they will tell you, I go to them for advice. I'm not self-counseled. You know what I'm saying? I need a team. That's why I put that quote from my book. Even Jesus had a team. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus went out and said, I'm going to do this all by myself. I got this. Even Jesus had a team. Now, did he need a team? That's debatable. It all depends on how God wanted him to move. But he definitely had one.
Great point.
A I'm not out here thinking I don't need anybody. I need people. Good people. You understand what I'm saying? I let ABT members know. I've been telling that since day one. I tell Ariel that, Kevin, Nautica, Keanu, and the rest. I'm just going to go giggle this island on y'all and the rest. Y'all remember the movie star, you know, before they start saying
right.
The Professor and Marianne, before they start saying that in the earliest season, they'll say the movie star and the rest. I know I first heard it as a kid. I'm like, man, that is different. How is it going to say the rest? But I didn't know, you know. But I didn't know. You know, I was born after that stuff. So when I started hearing that, then before they actually got the other cast members solidified.
Right.
So, then I said, and I ain't trying to be this. I just said the rest. I've been all big thanking individual people from ABT, both new and old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm trying to get people to understand, man. I need people. You need a team. No more solo crap. You need somebody watching your back at all times. You feel me? Even when Jesus was being taken to trial, Peter was right there. Peter pulled a sword out. That's what it tells you. And cut a dude's ear off. I'm trying to figure out how, it don't say he hacked it out. That means like you grab somebody's ear and you're just cutting and hacking until it comes off. It said he cut it off. I'm trying to figure out how skillful and precise must you be with a sword to cut somebody's freaking ear off.
So up in that.
Exactly. Anybody ever thought about that? Because that was his thing with him. Now, Jesus corrected him and said, no, that ain't how we do things. But that shows you that Peter had a team mentality. Like, yo, I'm on this dude's team. You trying to snatch him up, you might, you know what I'm saying, catch a few slices. And it says Jesus picked up the man's ear and put it back on and healed it. But we got to get away from this solo mentality, too. Because a lot of people think, I'll do this by myself. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to last. I don't been on Clubhouse before y'all is all in the hallway, the room open, where it's a 1/1, meaning one person in the room and one person on the stage. That is very depressing to me. I know y'all have seen it too. You need a team. And in my upcoming book, I'm going to, you know, allow some advice about the importance of having a team or a crew in the form of a maxim or a wise saying. Y'all don't see it. That's just a little promo insert. I don't care. Right? But now, we're in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Right? Now watch what it says right here. Read that, please.
Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eye, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise.
It said the way of a fool is right in his own eye. That means a fool believes whatever he does is right. But then it says, but he that hearkeneth, which means listens, unto counsel, which is advice, is wise. But you know this has to mean wise counsel or wise advice. It don't mean advice in general. Because David already let us know in Psalm 1:1, you don't take the advice of the wicked. So you don't be out here thinking that you know everything. This is another way of saying the fool thinks he knows everything.
Right.
You can't tell a fool anything because he know everything. Wise man listens to advice. But who is in your ear? Are wise people in your ear? Because you're getting counsel from somebody. Unless you're just solo, been living under a rock, or you grew up in a cave, or you're on a desert island by yourself, you're getting counsel from somebody. Somebody is influencing you. That includes me, too. I'm not walking around like, no, not me, because I'm the teacher. No, me, too. That's why I try to surround myself with wise people. When you really get understanding, you will see. Let me ask you a question, Kevin. Back in the old days, what was the highest position in a kingdom you could have? What's the highest position in a kingdom? You should know the answer to this.
The highest position aside from the king himself?
No, that's it. You just answered the question. the king, right? So let me ask you a question. So who ruled the kingdom then?
The king.
Wrong. You know who ruled the kingdom? The counselors. Because all kings had counselors.
Correct. Correct.
And they listened to their counselors, whether they were good or bad. That's who really runs the show, y'all. Y'all think the president of the United States runs this country? Y'all really been thinking that? Even the president of the United States has advisors. Every great kingdom had advisors. They were counselors. I'm going to show y'all that too. That's who really runs the show. That's why you got to be careful of who's in your ear. Because if you are in a position of power or leadership, then whoever's in your ear that you respect and listen to, in a way, they are controlling and influencing you. And there's nothing deceitful or wicked about the concept in of itself, because that's the way God got it set up. That's why you got to make sure you know who's in your ear. Don't just be a mindless puppet that just does whatever somebody advises you to do. You got to be able to recognize wise counsel when you hear it, as well as bad counsel when you hear it. Remember, one of the synonyms for counsel was ideal. And an ideal is something you come up with. Like, I may be a good teacher, but I may have no idea how to do something. Kevin J. is one of my students, right? But guess what? He can come up with an idea, and because I recognize wise counsel when I hear it, I say, you know what, Kevin? That's a great idea. We're going to do that. And then we go out into the world, and everybody be like, Josh is the head of ABT. He came up with that. That's how everybody going to look at it. They might necessarily say it, but that's all everybody's thinking. Y'all don't even understand. I'm surrounded by counselors, y'all. Antoine is one. Ariel is one. Even Nautica don't kind of start trying to influence the situation a little bit. But everybody who I put around me, you better believe, I have to see some value in you as a counselor and as an asset to this ministry. If you're on this stage right now with me, that means I see some kind of value in you as pertaining to this ministry. And I have to tell people sometimes in the ministry, if they give me an idea, I might say to them, that ain't the best counseling. I don't think that's the best way to go with this. It's not an insult. It's just, you know, just because you're my counselor does not mean I don't have any counsel of my own. But I can tell you this, I've never had anybody around me who have steered me in the wrong direction. That's one thing I can say. Whether it was from the advice that I took or from the advice that I said, no, I'm going to do this my way. I've never been steered in the wrong direction because I'm always paying attention to who's in my ear. I'm always doing that. Y'all need to start doing that too, right? So now we see that it tells you that a wise man or a wise person listens to advice, wise advice, right? Let's move on. Let's go to still in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. And then we're going to read this in another translation because I want y'all to see this. See, nobody likes to talk about this. That's why y'all be jumping in and out of all these rooms. You think. It's not influencing you. It's not guiding you. It's not giving you any ideas. We ask that question all the time. We talk to our kids. Who put that idea in your head? Where'd you get that from? Why are you behaving like this now? Right? We ask that question all the time. Y'all really think kids are the only people that can be influenced? Kids are the only people that can be peer pressured? Y'all better wake up. You got somebody in your ear. And I've seen the metamorphosis, Kevin, of people from when they were just kind of just doing their own thing or just kind of kicking it with some nice people. Then they start falling in with another clique, and all of a sudden you don't even recognize that person anymore because somebody's been in their ear. They've been sitting up on all that bull. They're just in their ear. They're just eating it up. right? This is Proverbs chapter 15, one verse, 22.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established.
It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Counsel is advice. Y'all know that. That's primarily what it's talking about. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Your purposes are your plans. And y'all know if something is a disappointment, a plan is disappointing, that means it failed. But we're going to prove that's what this is saying. But then it says, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. In a multitude, I mean, you got a lot of wise advisors around you, your purposes are established, meaning they are achieved. See, every time I'm reading in the Bible, it's telling me I need a team. Don't feel bad. You got to belong to something. You got darn right. You need to be part of a group. I sure do. Shoot, Antoine, are you listening? Antoine, are you listening right now? You know, he be kind of busy. I don't know if he's listening.
Antoine,
you know, we like to make these wrestling analogies, right? Even the Crow Sting realized after a while he couldn't keep fighting his NWO by himself. Then he had one.
Nope, had to join up.
He needed a team. Shoot, you'll be, it's amazing what you can learn just from watching entertainment sometimes. It's like a lesson of wisdom in there. He got tired of getting stumped out by the NWO every other week. He said, shoot, I'm going to join the Wolfpack. People try to make fun of other people because they want to belong to a group. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a team. Just make sure it's the right team. You can't make fun of me. See, you need people. I sure do. See, the first man God created, after he created all the animals, he said it's not good that man shall be alone. That's the first thing God said concerning the status of man. It is not good that man should be alone. And you up there trying to tell me you need to be by yourself. It's good to be. No, we're not. No. I'm not saying it's bad, you know, to get away, you know, by yourself every now and then, you know, a little solitude to meditate, get your mind right, or take a vacation by yourself. I'm not talking about that. But don't ever make any long-term permanent plans to be alone. So you will never hurt my feelings if you say, so I see yourself, your problem. You need people. I sure do. What do you think this is? So that's why I said you want to have a multitude of counselors. A multitude. Multitude means a lot, y'all. It don't mean one, two, or three. Multitude means a lot. Wise counselors. But let me show you how this reads in the other translations. This is Proverbs 15 and 22. Let me put this up, y'all. And we're going to read it in the ERV, easy to read verse. See, I like to pull this stuff up so y'all see these other translations. They know exactly what these verses are saying. And I like the way they paraphrase them sometimes. Look what it says in Proverbs 15 and 22 in the easy to read version. It says, if you don't ask for advice, your plans will fail. I mean, Kevin James, is that, do I need to interpret that? Do I need to break that down?
You don't have to say nothing else.
That's pretty clear. If you don't ask for advice, your plans will fail. That's Bible, y'all. And you know it means wise advice, because as I keep reminding y'all, David told you in Psalm 1 and 1, don't listen to the advice of the wicked. So you know it means wise advice, right? And some of that wise advice doesn't necessarily have to come from a living human being. You can turn to the Bible and get advice from the ancestors, our forefathers. That's still advice. Just because you read it after I'm dead doesn't mean the advice is no longer legit. So if you can't get wise counsel from another person, then go to the Bible, because the Bible was written by people, you know, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is the best kind of advice you can get, Holy Spirit motivated advice, right? So it says, if you don't ask for advice, your plans will fail. With many advisors, they will succeed. That sounds like he's saying you need to get you a team. So that sounds like to me. Why do you think me, Aria, always trying to grow? We're all trying to assemble. Aria, you know, we're trying to get this women's thing going. We look for somebody to be over the women's thing. Aria is, he Nick Fury over here. He's trying to form the Avengers. We Nick Fury this thing. But we only want good advisors, good people on the team. We ain't looking for just anybody. See, that's the problem with a lot of these other people. They don't care who on their team. They just want the numbers. No, we kind of selective over here. Because if you have a good team succeeds. That's what it says. Let me show you how this reads in the International Standard Version, or the ISV. Proverbs 15:22. It says, plans fail without advice. But with many counselors, they are confirmed. It says plans fail without advice. Who is in your ear giving you advice? And then ask yourself why your plan didn't work. It may not just be you. It may be some bad advisors in your ear. Bad influence. Bad guidance. Bad instruction. You want wise counsel. You got to stop surrounding yourself with people who you know don't know what they're talking about. You part of a group, and you smarter than everybody in the group except maybe the number one and number two person in the group. And sometimes you be smarter than them. Why are you sitting under them? Well, just because I'm smarter than them, Josh, don't mean that they're not good. When I say smarter than, y'all got to understand, when I say smart, I mean wise. You're wiser than them. How do you know you're wiser than them? They do something stupid, and you say right up things to yourself, nah, that wasn't right. They go against Scripture. That's when you already know you're wiser than them. You can't even justify it to yourself anymore. It was just wrong, man. Josh just straight called that woman out her name, and she didn't do anything to him but just disagree. She wasn't being disrespectful. He just, you beat somebody on my team. At some point, you need to pull me to the side and be like, yo, Josh, you were wrong for that. You don't just do that. They're supposed to just be like trying to rationalize that in their mind. Now, they can still tell me I'm wrong, but it's like somebody on here going off on me, calling me out my name, and I just kind of losing to call them back out. I'm still wrong, and they can probably say, yeah, you know, they did say it to you first, Josh, but, you know, you're supposed to sink to their level. You got to be careful who you surround yourself with. That's why a lot of y'all own this app. And I told Nautica, I told, not Antoine, but Dre, and I told Benaya, this whole situation going on with WAC 100 and ISUBK, I told all three of them, I said, this ain't going to end well. I told them, Kevin, I said, it's not going to end well.
It doesn't.
Because that's a bad move. That's bad advice. I don't know who advised Cap to mix it up with people like WAC 100. I ain't got nothing personally against the brother, but the brother got no respect for Israelites or the Bible. Why are you trying to do anything with him? Why are you trying to stand in the way of sinners? Why are you trying to sit in the seat of the scornful? Scornful means people who insult people. And yes, WAC 100 was dropping major insults on Captain Cazar. See, Captain Cazar, I didn't read Psalm 1 and 1. Or if he did, he didn't take it to heart. You don't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't do that. And that just means hanging around with them, associating with them, being buddy-buddy with them. That's all that means. We don't supposed to do that. And everybody on Clubhouse, wow, I can't believe it. It went down. What happened? What do you mean, what happened? I saw that coming a mile away. That was not going to work. Who is in your ear? But let's move on. Let's go to the Apocrypha. It said, plans fail without advice. land do fail without advice, y'all. I'm trying to show y'all this stuff. But I'm going to show y'all some people in the Bible who took some bad advice. Yeah, that's in the Bible. They took some bad advice. They let somebody get in their ear. And that's what a lot of us doing. And now you're acting like them. Don't nobody tell me what to do, Josh. I got my own mind. No, they ain't directly tell you. But you're still following their advice by example. They're still in your ear. They're not talking directly to you. Like I said, I don't got to directly tell Kevin J to act like me. I don't have to say, Kevin J, do what I do, act how I act. I ain't got to do that. All I got to do is take him everywhere I go and act a certain way, and then he will start imitating me if I'm in his ear like that. He's still listening to me. I'm still in his ear. Y'all got to understand, in your ear does not mean, hey, Kevin J, let me pull you to the side and give you some advice. It doesn't just mean that. In your ear also simply means who you listen to. Who you listen to. Ain't got to be directly talking to you, but they're still in your ear. And I'm asking y'all, who's in your ear? And it's not hard for me to find out. I see who you a part of. I see who you kicking it with. Now, all of a sudden, now you out here on social media acting just like them. Because they're in your ear. They're your advisors. But you don't supposed to listen to the advice of the wicked. That's the first thing we read. Right? But now we're in the Apocrypha. We're going to C-Rock, also known as Ecclesiasticus. We're going to read one verse. That's chapter 19 and verse 22. Chapter 19 and verse 22. And that's on page 90 if you're looking for it in the Apocrypha section of the Septuagint.
Yeah, 19 and 42. 22. Mm-hmm.
You're 19 and
22. Two. Mm-hmm. 1 second. It's page 90. Okay. Yep, I got you right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is C-Rock, chapter 19, verse 22. It says, the knowledge of wickedness is not wisdom. Neither at any time the counsel of sinners prudence.
Now, look what this is saying, and we're going to understand what this means. We're going to read this from other translations. Look what it says. The knowledge of wickedness is not wisdom. See, having knowledge of wickedness, that's not wisdom, y'all. That's just knowledge. You know of it, but that's not wisdom. Then it says, neither at any time the counsel, which means advice, neither at any time the advice of sinners. What does it mean when it says neither at any time is the advice of sinners prudence? Let me show y'all what that means. We're going to read this in other translations. We're going to go first. We're going to read it. See Luke chapter 19. Let me pull this up. And verse 22. We're going to read it first in the Good News translation. See Luke 19. And let me pull up, and 22. I'm trying to start over. I'm just going to type it start over. I hate me trying to navigate through Bible Hub. You have to switch to one extra verse. Just go to another verse. It does that. Y'all know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, Bible Hub.
Yeah, like okay. They got to set it up a little better. Here we go. Deuteronomy 19 and 22 in the Good News translation. Look what it says. You may know everything there is to know about wickedness, but that does not make you wise. It is not sensible to follow the advice of sinners. Isn't that what David told us? In Psalm 1 and 1, Kevin?
Yeah, right on point.
It said, you may know everything there is to know about wickedness, but that does not make you wise. It is not sensible. I mean, it makes no sense to follow the advice of sinners. That's why I'm asking the question. Who's in your ear? Is it a righteous person or is it a wicked person? And a lot of y'all know it be wicked people in y'all ear. Y'all know it. Y'all know this is wicked. So why would you subject yourself to it? Maybe because you're wicked. See, a lot of us want to be told to do wrong. And a lot of us get mad when somebody try to give them wise counsel. If you try to give somebody wise counsel and they get mad, then they got some serious praying and repenting to do. Because the Bible says you don't supposed to despise or reject wise counsel. That's to your own destruction if you do that. So it said it makes no sense to follow the advice of sinners. Look how I read in the CEV or Contemporary English Version. It says, sin isn't the source of wisdom. And so sinners cannot give good advice. Sinners cannot give good advice. They're going to give you advice that makes you sin. Sin-filled advice. We're going to see that next. See, nobody's thinking who's in their ear, who's advising them. You got wicked people in your ear telling you to do stuff. Because nobody is talking about the importance of wise counsel. That's why people come in our rooms acting the way they act. Nobody is counseling them. Nobody is telling them, look, man, when you go in somebody else's chat room, you don't come in there dropping insults and being rude and being disrespectful. Nobody is counseling them. Nobody is teaching them or advising them on how to conduct themselves. I look around and all I see is lack of wise counsel. That's all I see. And it's become the norm on this app. You can look at the title of some people's rooms. That's not wise counsel. But they're in your ear. We have to do better than this, y'all. We got to separate ourselves from the scornful. I've been over here having a conversation with somebody before. We're just going back and forth. They get mad, start insulting me, start scorning me. Why? Because I don't agree with you on a Bible passage? I'm being sucked to do it. Talking about each other's husbands, calling each other the B word. Why? Because y'all don't agree on an interpretation of a scripture? What do my husband have to do with this? That's what I should be saying. Why are you talking about my husband? We're talking about if this means this or if this means that. Why are you talking about this woman's husband? Why are you talking about her kids? Why are you talking about her marriage? And the other supposed to be right there with him in the chat room. Just gaslighting you. Yeah, keep it going. Yeah. Sounds awful. It says, blessed is the man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. So if blessed is the person that does not sit in the seat of the scornful, then what is the person that does sit in the seat of the scornful? Well, what's the opposite of blessed? Curse. It's about to curse people on this app. And it ain't got nothing to do with them being Israel. You curse because of how you conduct yourselves. You sit in the seat of the scornful, and you're listening to the advice of the wicked. That's why you're moving the way you move. You got to separate yourself. Look, man, I'm not listening to you no more. You got to tell people that sometimes, man, I'm not listening to you anymore. You keep giving me bad advice, man. Girl, I'm not listening to you. I know I'm going through some problems in my marriage, but I'm not listening to you. What advice can you possibly give anyway? You three times divorced. What you going to teach me how to do? Get a divorce? You got to look at people's resumes sometimes. They track record. We're going to look at that too. The kind of people you ask for advice. You out here trying to give advice, and your marriage is literally a thread hanging by a thread. And you out here trying to give advice? Are you kidding me? What can you tell them? What can you advise them on how to do? Bring their marriage to the brink of destruction like yours? That's another thing we got to understand. Don't just ask who's in your ear. Whose ear are you in? And do you need to be in their ear? You follow what I'm saying? I'm a single man. I don't give that much advice on marriage. I give advice on general conduct that can be applied in marriage. But don't ask me the secret to being married 30-plus years. I better call Elder David up for that. I wouldn't know about that. I wouldn't know anything about that. I stay in my lane. That's one thing I do. Don't ask me no if I don't have people ask their advice on stuff. Like, how am I supposed to know that? That ain't even my study. You feel me? I'm also careful whose ear I'm in. I don't know what I'm talking about. Why am I giving advice? And that's another thing, too. We're taking advice from a lot of people who don't know what the hell they talk about. I mean, you got to really vet people. Well, I have been married 10 years, Josh, you know what I'm saying? So, okay, I might listen to you. If I'm a newlywed and I'm going through problems in my marriage, I might listen to you 10 years. That's pretty good to me. Heck, 5 years is good to Josh. I might listen to you, right? But you got sisters on here listening to other sisters about their marriage, and that sister single, and not just single and bitter. And I'm not saying that all single sisters are bitter. I'm not saying that. Y'all know I'm not stupid like that. And I'm not saying that some decent advice about a marriage cannot come from a single sister. I'm not saying that either. All I'm saying is whatever you're getting advice about, let the person who's in your ear be the best you can get in terms of advice. I mean, a lot of y'all could have done better than your single bitter friend if you have a problem with your marriage. I think you could have done a little better than that. I'm just saying. I think you could have done a little better than that. But that's why you got to be careful about who you associate with. You got to be careful about who you doing business with and rubbing elbows with, because they are going to advise you one way or another. And like I keep telling y'all, all advice is not verbal. Sometimes it's people's bad behavior that can rub off on you. That's why in that psalm it also said, don't sit in the seat of the scornful or the way of sinners. You don't want to be around people like that. That's Bible. I don't care what your camp is telling you. That's what the Bible says. And we keep thinking we can be around the wicked and not be influenced by them. There's a reason why the Bible says to separate. Why would he tell us to separate if we're impervious to the influence? Why would he tell you to separate then? He'll just be like, yo, do your thing. Walk the walk. They can't touch you. The Bible never says anything like that, does it, Kevin? Every time you turn around, the Bible says, separate yourself from them sinners. You can't keep dealing with people like that. You have no business dealing with people like that. Whether it's in camp or in personal business, you got to be careful. Who's in your ear? So let's move on. Where you stop? Okay, you're at that one point. It says we're in the contemporary English version. Yep, we're in the contemporary English version. I'm going to read it again. It says, sin isn't the source of wisdom, and so sinners cannot give good advice. You do not take advice from the wicked. You do not stand in the path of sinners. You do not sit in the seat of the scornful. All that is saying is you don't hang around wicked people, and you don't hang around wicked people that's always insulting other people and taking personal shots at them, you know, ad hominem, whatever you want to call it. We're not supposed to be doing that. I don't know what Bible y'all reading, but the Bible I read say you don't supposed to be on here taking personal shots at people and mocking them. You're not supposed to be doing that. If we're talking about something and we disagree on something, keep it about that. Don't start taking shots at the way people talk or their personal appearance or their personal lives. I can't stand when people do that. I've seen that done to people. I was talking about Captain Tazaria earlier. But I've seen that happen to him, too. That's why every time, and I tell everybody this, whenever I turn on social media and I see some sister, and it's always the sisters, talking about this guy at this camp did that to them, and now I want to go on social media and tell the whole world, I just change the channel. I click off of it. I don't want to hear that. Because you knew what you were dealing with. You knew exactly what you were dealing with. You knew you were sitting in the seat of the scornful. You knew you were in the way of sinners. and you thought you could profit in some way or another among those wicked people. And when it didn't go the way that you wanted, you picked up your ball and you went home. In other words, you got mad and now you want to end the whole game. That's what that literally means. Like, when little kids be playing and the kid who brought the ball is his ball, right? You on the basketball court or you playing football. That's where that saying came from. You took your ball and went home. You know, in the neighborhood, hey, man, let's get this football game going. Let's get the basketball game coming. And then the guy who brought the ball is his ball. When he losing, he pick up his ball and he go home. So he want to end the whole game because he ain't winning or he didn't win. That's what a lot of these suckers do. They know exactly what they're dealing with, but when they don't win or profit, they want to pick up their ball and go home. In other words, they want to end the whole organization, end the whole game. Don't be in that crowd. Why don't you ever expose them while things are going good? Why is it that you got to have a bad experience at the camp before you expose the camp? Why don't you just leave the camp as soon as you say to yourself, nah, this ain't even good, and then expose the camp? That way nobody at the camp can accuse you of being a disgruntled sister. Oh, she's just mad because it didn't work out with the dude she was with at the camp. That's all they're going to say to you anyway. You disgruntled. It's like you fired somebody from a job. Now they start bad mouthing the dog. Anybody with anything, man, you just disgruntled. You mad because you got fired. Why wouldn't you complain about the job conditions while you were there? See, that's what I do. When I enter into anything bad, I voice my opinion about what's wrong with it while I'm there. I don't wait till I have a bad experience. Oh, now I want to tell about how jacked up the place is. So I don't listen to no sister. I don't care if it's true. I don't want to hear your sob story. Don't come on my stage. Well, you know, I was at ISUPK and this brother did this. Get off my stage. I don't want to hear that. How long was this going on allegedly? 4 years? 4 years? And we just not hearing about it? Couldn't have been that bad. You dealt with it 4 years. I don't be believing that crap. You just a disgruntled sister. And then somebody get in their ear. Because a lot of times people don't want to do that. Girl, you going to let him get away with that? They get in your ear, and now they got you out here putting yourself out there. You got to be careful about who's in your ear and who you freely associate with. Because it's going to influence you. And it's going to backfire. I'm telling y'all that. Y'all better understand this, right? So now, we were just in C-Rock. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Let's take a look at some bad advice in action. We're going to go to 2 Samuel 13.
In action.
In action.
It's the 2 Samuel job site?
Mm-hmm. That's why you got to be careful about who you associate with. I told everybody. Go ahead.
I don't know if you got this in the class. You got this in the class, we won't speak on it, but me and some of the brothers in the group, we're doing a read like on the Prophets and the Kings. And in 2 Chronicles, man, are we a ball? Do you have that in the class today?
No, I went through that, but no. And the only reason why I didn't do it is because they said this king was from the Lord. That's the only reason why I didn't put it in there. Because God was directing it.
I got you.
It's a good example, but it's not the person. It's God directly ordained for it to go down like that. That's the only way I put it up.
Got you. Okay, because I was looking at that where you know how Rehoboam had took the advice. Well, he had the advice from the elders, and then he had the advice, you know, from his boy that he grew up with. And he wound up taking the advice from his boy that he grew up with instead of the elders on how to, you know, rule over the people. So I thought that was what you were talking about. I kind of thought about that. We were speaking about that. Myself, Riley, and Sam, we were speaking about that particular chapter there. But I got
right.
What you're saying, though.
Right. I know about that, you know, how he listened, Rehoboam, following his son, listened to the advice of the young man that he grew up with and didn't listen to the advice of the old man, and that's what made the kingdom split. But if you keep reading, he said this thing happened because it was from the Lord. So the Lord was directly behind that. That's how it played out, though. Still a good example, but I want to deal with something more self-induced. You feel me?
Got you. Yeah, I just thought about it when you talked about when you were saying how we should take advice, like the advice of certain elders and stuff like that. I always think about the elder day because I definitely go to him. You y'all for advice as well. You know what I mean? I am married, and I go to them on certain things, so I thought that was it kind of went together, but I see where you were going with it, though.
Right. But this is 2 Samuel 13. Let's see this in action.
2 Samuel 13.
We're reading about when one of David's sons raped one of David's daughters, which was that son's half-sister, right? But a lot of people don't pay attention to what made this pop off. It was because somebody was in somebody else's ear. And because of somebody being in somebody else's ear, that led to rape. That's why you got to ask yourself, who's in your ear? Read that. We're going to read 2 Samuel 13, and we're going to read 1 to 6, and then we're going to skip. Read that, please.
Oh, 1 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her.
So this dude was in love with his half-sister. They had the same daddy, David, but not the same mom. Go ahead and read.
Verse 2. And Amnon was so vexed that he felt sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her.
So he said he fell sick. This was he was literally love sick for his half sister, which is also sick in of itself because that's his half sister. He followed up there.
Right?
But continue to read.
Verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man.
Now look what it said. It said, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. Right? So this would be his cousin. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jonadab was a very subtle man. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, he was clever. He was shrewd. He was wise. Right? Now, he knows how Amnon feels about his half-sister. Let's see what kind of advice, what kind of counsel he's going to give Amnon. How's he going to be in his ear? Read the next part, please.
Verse 4. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, living from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister.
And the reason why he said my brother Absalom's sister, because David was their dad too, but they also had the same mom. Absalom and Tamar were full brother and sister. They had the same mama and the same dad, right? So his friend Jonadab asked him, why are you so like depressed every day? And Amnon told him, like, you know, I'm in love with, you know, Tamar, my half-sister. Now watch what he says.
2 Samuel 13:5. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress in me in my sight, that I might see it, and eat it at her hand.
Now, look what this guy Jonadab is telling him. He said unto him, lay thee down on the bed and make thyself sick, either meaning fake being sick or do something to make yourself like throw up or something, right? And when your father comes to see you, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. Remember, C-Rock 19:22 says, sin isn't the source of wisdom, and so sinners cannot give good advice. What kind of advice did Jonadab give, Kevin?
That's some terrible advice.
Terrible advice. What Jonadab should have said if he was a wise counselor was, hey, man, what the heck is wrong with you, man? That's your own sister. You're the son of a king. Are there not many other beautiful women in the kingdom you can go after? He's telling him how to sin. See, Amnon didn't realize who he had in his ear.
Mm.
See, look who's in his ear. And that's what a lot of people do on this app. They give ungodly advice.
Man, you going to let that dude say something like that, man? You going to let him, man, you need to go over there and hammer that.
You going to let her say that? You going to let her do that? You going to let her teach that? And you teach something different? You need to go in there and spam up her chat. Or better yet, open up another room while she trying to teach. See, sometimes people don't do that on their own, Kevin. Sometimes they got somebody in their ear gassing them up to do that. Hey, you need to go ahead and do that. See, Ammon wasn't thinking about any kind of treachery to get with his sister. But Jonadab gave him a way. He was in his ear. And that's some terrible advice, like Kevin said, right? Now read verse 6. Let's see if he's going to follow the advice.
6. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let tomorrow my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my flight that I might eat at her hand.
And David did what he asked him. He had Tamar sit there, right? He didn't suspect the thing, right? Just like if you got a son and a daughter, even they got different mothers, and your son's sick, he's like, hey, man, call my sister here, man, you know, to give me something. Your dad ain't going to be like, you just want to bang your own sister, don't you? He ain't going to be thinking like that.
No.
Right? And that's all David saw. You know what I'm saying? Just some siblings. You know, one sibling warm the company of another. Right? Now, watch what this dude does, right? Skip down. You stop at 6. Skip down.
Yep.
And I want you to read 11 to 16.
Yeah, my notes too is. Okay, I got 11 to 16. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister.
So he grabbed her. And remember, we read earlier that said she was a virgin. She had never had sex, right? So he grabbed hold of her, and he tried to talk her into it, right? Lie with me, right? That's got to be crazy coming from your own brother, even if it's just a half-brother, right? But who got in his ear and told him that's the way you can set it up? Jonadab.
Boy, Jonadab.
You see how he got in his ear? It just started out with a simple guy lusting after his own sister, which is wicked enough in and of itself, but that's as far as the story took it until he told Jonadab. This lets you know other stuff, too. You got to be careful who you tell your sins to. Because not only may they not only could they go public and steal your business, but they can give you advice to make your sin even worse. You got to be careful. Man, I'm struggling with you know, with lust, man. Let me go talk to Brother Josh. Hey, Brother Kevin, what's going on, man? I'm struggling with lust, Josh. You know, I'm just saying, I don't know what to do, man. What's going on? Hey, man, what you need to do? Go on Pornhub. You feel me? Like, I mean, come on, bro. You feel me? And because Kevin respects me, he's gonna be like, well, maybe that's what I need to do. Even though he might be like, huh? Okay, well, I trust Josh, though. You follow what I'm saying? That's why you got to be careful. If you're struggling with something, and there's nothing to be ashamed of, all of us struggle or deal with something, right? Be careful who you go to for advice. You know what I'm saying? If you're struggling with lust, don't go to no single brother who's struggling with lust. You know what I'm saying? That's common sense.
That's badass.
Right, that's bad answer. You know, you can do, like I said, a lot of y'all know y'all can do better in terms of who you have in your ear. You know you can do better. Come on. The best you can come up with if you're struggling in your marriage is your single, bitter girlfriend who don't been in 3 failed relationships. That's the best you can think of to talk to you about a marriage? This ain't nothing against your friend, you know what I'm saying? We've all made mistakes, but yo, I just don't feel like you're the best qualified person to talk to about this. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to hurt my feelings if you tell me that. I'm slick lazy anyway. I don't really want to talk to you no way. You feel me?
Hey, but Josh, you know what? Some people really want to hear that. You know, like you know, you know people that they know what they're doing. Sometimes they just want to have somebody confirm what they want to do.
Exactly.
I noticed that too.
want to be told what they want to hear.
Yep.
You dealt with that with that situation with Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat and Ahab.
Yep. King Jehoshaphat. Yep. 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Want to be told what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Amnon wasn't even asking for advice. He was just telling the dude what he was dealing with. And Jonadab gave some bad advice. But watch what else it says that, verse 12.
12. And she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this father."
And she answered him, "No, my brother, don't rape me." That's what she's saying. She's pleading with him. Don't rape me. "For no such thing ought to be done in Israel," raping women. No such thing. That lets you know that rape, the Israelites consider rape wrong, right?
Exactly.
"Do not thou this folly." Don't do this foolishness, which is wickedness. Don't do this, right? Now watch what it says. Continue.
It's going to be a 13. And I, whether shall I cause my saint to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee."
She even tried to get this dude a compromise, which to this day, this scripture puzzles me. Because first she says, "And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go?" Like, what am I going to do about my shame? So first she tells him, "You're going to bring shame on me. And as for you, you shall be as one of the fools in Israel." You know, a rapist was considered a fool, right? "Now, therefore," now listen to this part, "I pray thee," I'm begging you, "speak unto the king, our father, for he will not withhold me from you." She's even saying, "If you ask our dad, he'll let you have me." But they're half brother and sister. That's why I said this always puzzled me.
Yeah.
But the weird thing still is, even though they're half brother and sister, which would have been incest, my whole thing is, I'm totally against the union in of itself. She was against this dude trying to rape her. And she knew that all he wanted from her was sex. That's why she gave him a compromise. "Yo, let's do this legitimately, kind of." You feel me? Kind of, because y'all have brother and sister. Right? But at least it won't be no foul play involved. Right? So she wasn't against the union entirely. She just didn't want to get raped. Like, dude, if you want me, do it the right way. Oh, don't that sound kind of familiar about these classes I've been teaching y'all about sex, ain't marriage?
What if she was just lying to get out the room? Like, she's just lying, like, "Oh, you know, Dad, we'll give me to you. Just let me go to Dad." Like, she's just saying that even though her dad really not to give it to her.
I think the text would have stated that. So if that's all they say, that's all I roll with. That's entirely possible, but the text makes it known that that's the case. Plus, why would she try to bluff him with that? He would have read right through that because he know his daddy.
Yeah,
too.
That alone. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, good well, Dad ain't going to give you to me. Who do you think you fooling? Right? But she still gave him some kind of promise of him being able to get with her. I would have thought she would have been like, "Yo, this is wrong. I'm your sister, the end." Or better yet, "If you do this, I'm going to tell our father." Right? There are plenty of other arguments she could have threw in his direction if she was just dead set against him laying with her in any case. "Now, I'm going to tell my dad, you dumb, this ain't right," you know what I'm saying? Right? But watch what it says, what happened. Go ahead and read.
14. "Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her."
So it wouldn't have worked anyway, right? He didn't believe it anyway. He said, "Howbeit he would not hearken unto her, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her." He raped his own sister. That's what he did. But this is the real messed up part, right? And this is how I know that she wasn't just saying this to get him out of the room because of what happens next, Ariel. Watch this. Go ahead and read.
15. "And Amnon hated her exceedingly
So that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Adonai said unto her, arise, be gone.
So, I don't even know what to say about this kid. I have no exposition. You feel? This is the first.
Right.
This is the first. I mean, I've heard of stuff happening like this. You know, this is like culture, black culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't love them hoes. Like, as soon as you smash, kick them out. That's what he did.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what he did. And then it said he hated her. Right?
Right.
More than the love he had. So that lets you know, did he ever really, truly love her? Or was he just wanting to just put her real bad? Because if he really loved her, the Bible is very, it's not graphic, but it's very explicit about what we're reading. Basically, after he got off, he told her, get out.
That's exactly what it,
y'all got to be careful there, so beware of the man that after he gets off, he tells you to get out. Because that's exactly what happened, right? And this is how I know that she really was kind of even entertaining the possibility of them actually being a married couple. Watch what she said next. Go ahead, Ernie.
16. And she said unto him, there is no cause. The evil in sending me away is greater than the other, is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her.
You see what she said? The sending me away is greater. Because you don't sleep with me and you don't even want me. That's what she's saying. That's even greater than you raping me. She said to her, that's worse. That's how you know she was entertaining the possibility, because why would any woman want to be with her rapist?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That means she was entertaining the possibility of them possibly being a couple. She just didn't want to get raped into it. That's why after he was done and he told her to get out, that's why she felt even worse. Because he made her believe he really wanted her. And he was,
is she saying, hey, somebody's going to be with me after this? Since you did this to me?
You said what now? You said what?
And she said, you put me away is worse now because ain't no man going to want to be with me after they found out you touched me.
Now, what she said right here, this is greater than what you did, right? She said, as she said it to him, this is no cause. This is exceeding evil. I'm sorry. Sending me away is greater than other that thou didst to me, but he would not hearken into her. So she's just saying him kicking her out is worse than the rape. Like, you used me and got rid of me. That's what the story is saying. And the narrative is comparing a love-hate scenario. First, he acted like he loved her and wanted, and that's what he was trying to convince her of. But after he got off, he kicked her out. Now, even though she was a virgin, she wasn't stupid. She know what it is. I'm pretty sure she understood that's how you treat whores. In fact, anybody will tell you that men don't pay whores to stick around. They pay them to leave. You ever heard that before, Ariel? Anybody on the stage?
Yeah.
You don't pay them to stick around. Right. You pay them to leave. You know what I'm saying? You don't. When you wake up the next morning, you want her gone. Or if you did it in a hotel, you, what they say, you leave the money on the dresser, and you gone. That's the whole point. And that's why she felt the ways. Like, yo, you just did me like a prostitute. Some no man stick around with a prostitute after you don't done the deed. He tell, okay, bye, get out. And that's why she said that's even worse, because you basically treated me, and I was a virgin before this. And you're treating a virgin of Israel like a common harlot. Right? But the point is, who gave him that advice? Jonadab. Now, Jonadab didn't tell him to rape her. He didn't say that. But he gave him some bad advice to get them alone together. So he essentially played a role in that woman getting raped. Because he gave him bad advice. That's who was in his ear. Amnon, who's in your ear? If you was in that same scenario, Ariel, and I don't think you ever would be, do you think I would have told you to do that? with your whole half-sister? I'm like, bro, what's wrong with you, man? You need to pray up. Like, come on, you don't gonna be doing that. There's a lot of single women in Israel. You're royalty, dude. You can have your pick of the litter. You can have numerous concubines if you want. You trying to tell me you don't want nobody but your sister? And you could tell that if he would have just held out Amnon, he would have got over it because he really didn't love her. That's why he kicked her out as soon as he was done. He didn't love that woman. He would have still been like, yo, we still need to go talk to Dad. You feel me?
Right.
And that's why she's like, that's even more evil. Dude, that would be to her, that was more hurtful than the rape. So you rape me and you don't want me? And yes, that would kind of ruin her for other men, too. Or, you know, it would do that, right? But I'm trying to show y'all, look at what's going on here. He had somebody in his ear, and that led to somebody getting raped. Who's in your ear?
Hey, Josh, real,
go ahead.
Real quick, too, Josh, to see to your other point about her.
Mm-hmm.
If she just got raped, most women I know, if they got raped, they wouldn't have had to wait for her to leave. They would have bought it out. Most women would have been happy to get up out of there.
Right.
Got raped. I found that funny too, for what she said.
Because
I don't think if she got raped,
I
mean,
I'm
not.
And he told her to get out. She
would have
ran up out of there.
She would have been, yeah. She would have been
fine. It would have said she ran away weeping. She ran away weeping.
Right.
You feel me?
Exactly. That's what I thought.
She up there asking, "Why are you kicking me out?" Like,
yeah, that's how it looked.
Right.
Yeah.
But the point is, who gave them the bad advice that even set that scenario up? Jonadab.
He was foul.
He was foul on that, right? Well, let's move on. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 27. Look at another bad advice. You got to be careful when you're ill. Who's in your ear? I be trying to tell people, man, y'all be on this app, people just being ill. You didn't used to act like this. What happened to you, man? What happened to you, girl? When you start acting like this? I've seen drastic changes in men and women on this app from when I first got on here. I'm not just talking about doctrine. I'm talking about character. Some of the most gentle sisters became mean-spirited. Some of the most humble brothers became arrogant. I'm like, when did this happen? And I don't think they were always like this, but just pretending. I think a lot of these people were genuinely good people, but they started letting the other people get in their ear. Now you go back and you look at how you used to be versus how you are now and ask yourself, what changed? Whose stage do I always see you on? Whose rooms are you always in? Somebody is in your ear. And not just on the app, behind the scenes too. People talk on the phone outside of Clubhouse. You're supposed to be trying to get wise counsel. Nobody's talking about wise counsel. Amnon should have went to somebody who was a wise counsel about his unnatural lust for his own sister. But it lets you know something else about Amnon, Kevin. Unless you know something else about him. You think he didn't know what kind of person Jonadab was?
Right. Yes.
That lets you know what kind of person he hung around.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying? If I call Ariel up telling him I'm struggling with lust, unnatural lust at that, and he gave me some advice like that, I'd be like, Ariel, I didn't know you was like that. I wasn't gonna come to you for an advice, and I can even tell you that's some jacked up advice, Ariel. Come on, bro. That's what you got for me? Try to trick her into a situation where I can get her alone? Not Brother John. First of all, y'all know how Ariel is. That's the prayer master. He's like, first of all, Josh, we need to pray together. That's the first thing he's gonna tell me if I were to call him up with some mess like that. Okay, first of all, we got to pray, Josh. And then we're gonna pray for a minute, and then he's gonna get off into the advice. So then as you know, when John, they let you know what kind of person, kind of people Amlin ran with. You see what I'm saying? He didn't even have a third, a second friend now, so it could be three of them, to try to tell him, don't do that. Even with Rehoboam, he was in the middle. He had the old counselors, and he had the young counselors he grew up with, and he had a choice.
Right.
But it don't even say this dude had anybody else there. Like, this dude, Jonadab, that's his friend. So y'all think just because in the Bible days, wasn't nobody thinking like that. Man, this dude was telling him how to smash. He wasn't playing no marriage. He did not even tell Jonadab, I want to marry my sister. I want to wife her. He didn't say that. You can tell how the narrative went that Jonadab was just giving him advice on how to hit. To get them by themselves. He didn't say, hey, man, I don't agree with your lust, but if you just really want her to be your wife, man, then go talk to y'all dad, man. See, you know, you never know. This man knew what kind of love Amnon had. That's why he came up with a scenario to get them alone. Y'all, am I being clear? I ain't trying to be graphic or vulgar.
No, that's super clear.
Right.
That's what I was going to say earlier, Josh. If I'm going to cheat on my wife, you think I'm going to come to you? You're a man of God. I think I'm going to come to you for advice.
You already know what I'm going to tell you.
Even
in this case, Amnon didn't even go to him. He asked Amnon, what's going on? I can see something going on with you, right? And when Amnon told him, Jonadab gave this dude a hit it and quit it scenario to set up.
Yes, he did.
That's what he gave him. And he knew that, and that's how you knew that Jonadab knew what Amnon was talking about. Because he gave him a scenario where he can get him then. He ain't talking about no dowry. He ain't talking about going to no daddy. He just gave him a scenario where you can get it by yourself. See, when you read this stuff, you really paying attention, you learn several things. Why is Evan rolling with a dude that's giving him that kind of advice? And that's the kind of people he hang around. Y'all understand? Y'all better pay attention. Who's in your ear? And Amnon was like, oh, that's a great idea. And it worked. But if you read the rest of that story, she ended up telling Absalom, her full brother, about it. And Absalom waited 2 years, and eventually he had his people kill Amnon. So he got what was coming to him. But it was 1 Chronicles 27. We're going to read 32 and 33. It's those two verses.
Chronicles 27. 32 and 33. Well, the verse 32 and 33. Okay, this is 1 Chronicles 27, verse 32. And also Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hakmoni, if I'm saying that right, was the king's son.
Now, this is just giving you the people who were David's counselors and some of their relations. So it said also Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, right, and a scribe. So this guy was a wise man, a counselor, and a scribe. He has gifts, right, but we ain't talking about him. I'm just showing you that he was mentioned here. And Jehiel, the son of Hakmoni, was with the king's sons. Now read verse 33. This is who we're talking about.
And the hip that... Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai, the archite, was the king's companion.
So it said Ahithophel was the king's counselor. I told you these kings had counselors, and they used to listen to these counselors. Y'all got to understand this. The counselor was the real power behind the kingdom. And not just in ancient Israel, in other pagan nations as well. See, counseling is powerful, y'all. Who's in your ear? But now let's move on. So let's see what he's going to tell us about this guy. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Because Absalom, the one who, you know, killed Amnon for raping their sister, he eventually tried to usurp David and become king of Judah. He tried to usurp David, or Israel at that time, because, you know, it didn't split to Solomon. So he tried to take over as king, right? And one of David's advisors that you just read about, Ahithophel, turned on David and joined his son and became his son's advisor. You follow what I'm saying? Now, y'all just read what it said about David's uncle, Jonathan. It said the dude was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. Right? That's, you know what I'm saying? That's a trifecta right there. Right? But wait till you see what it says about Ahithophel as a counselor. Right? But right now, let's read 2 Samuel 15 and verse 12. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 12. Read that, please.
2 Samuel 15 and verse 12, and it reads, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilgal, while he offered sacrifice. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom."
Right? So it says in 2 Samuel 15, and get with you, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor." See, he used to be David's counselor, right?
Mm-hmm.
"From the city, even from Gilo, while he was offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom," the conspiracy to overthrow David as king. So now Absalom got the most powerful counselor of that time on his side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now watch what it says. This guy advised Absalom to do, to usurp David's authority. Still in 2 Samuel, turn to chapter 16 and read 20 to 23. Who's in your ear? Now we know that Ahithophel was once in David's ear, and it doesn't say anything about him giving David any bad advice when he was serving David. Now he's betrayed David and have joined up with David's rebellious son, Absalom, to overthrow David as king. Let's see what kind of advice he's going to give Absalom to overthrow David. 2 Samuel, chapter 16, 20 to 23. Who's in your ear? Watch what it says. Go ahead and read.
2 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 20. "Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do."
Now, it says, "And it said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do." So he's asking him, what is your advice? How do I usurp my father as king? Watch what this guy tells this man he should do. Go ahead and read.
21. "Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go into thy father's concubine, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art aboard of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong."
So Ahithophel advised Absalom. He said, go into your father's concubines, meaning sleep with them. Sleep with your father's wives, right? Which he hath left to keep the house, because when David was on the run, he still left his wives behind and his concubines, right? He says, "And all Israel shall hear that thou art aboard of thy father, then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong." So this is going to strengthen them if you do that, because at that time in history, you sleeping with your father's wife or his concubines, not your own mother, he said, like your father, like a stepmom, right? There was a sign of power. There was a power move. You follow what I'm saying? You're literally taking women from your father. That's why it was such a big deal when Reuben did that to Jacob. He lost the birthright because Reuben slept with his father's wife. Right?
That's right.
Now watch what it says. Now watch how he does it, though. He ain't just do it. Watch how he does it. Read the next verse.
2 Samuel 16:22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, And Absalom went in unto the father's concubine in the sight of all Israel.
He slept with these women publicly in front of everybody. It was a goddamn OnlyFans. You follow me?
Right. Exactly what it was.
Only difference is they nobody had to say.
Right.
And that's why they did it on the top of the house so everybody could see it.
Wow.
Right? This is the advice that Ahithophel gave this dude. Right? It says, so they spread Absalom a tent on the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel, in front of everybody. Right? Now read the next verse, and watch what it says about Ahithophel. Read that.
23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom.
Now you see how much they valued Ahithophel's counsel? It's and the counsel, the advice, the guidance, right? The instruction of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel, advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. This is telling you that both David and Absalom considered Ahithophel's advice to be as if it's coming from God himself. And yet this man is telling Absalom to sleep with his father's concubine. Who's in your ear? This lets you know something else. Just because you wise don't mean you're righteous.
Uh-oh.
That's why I say who's in your ear. David saw this man's word, his advice, as if it was coming from God himself. Absalom did too. But Absalom had Ahithophel in his ear. He doesn't mention anything about Ahithophel giving David that kind of advice when he was king. But when he betrayed David and started working for Absalom, look at the kind of advice he gave him. Notice that Absalom was like, can't we do this another way? I don't want to be an adulterer. You know what I mean? Because that's what he was doing, committing adultery.
Yeah.
Several times over.
Hmm.
I don't want to be an adultery. Can we, you know, that's some bad counseling. I don't want to do that. Not like that. And he did it. If this tells you that David considered Ahithophel's advice to be as if it was coming from God himself, and every king had counselors, who was really the force behind David's kingdom when David was ruling? Ahithophel, because you know he's listening to the counselor.
Yeah.
Y'all better understand the power of counseling. That's why I be telling y'all all the time, I be halfway joking, but I be halfway serious too. Y'all come over here with y'all problems, want to talk about y'all problems, shoot $120 in my Cash App in 4 hours, and I will give you some wise counseling. Because I do counseling. I really do. 120 procession. But it's going to be some wise counsel. I ain't going to tell you to do nothing stupid like, you know, Jonadab or Ahithophel did. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you wise counseling. And a lot of you at ABT can testify to the wise counseling that I have given you. But you have to make sure you know who's in your ear. And a lot of y'all don't know who's in your ear. You're not paying attention. That's why you come on this app and you start acting like your advisor. That's what a lot of y'all are acting like. A lot of y'all, I really don't even know who you are. I really don't. Because all you're doing is following the counsel of bad counselors. That's all you're doing. That's why nobody's talking about wise counsel. Who's in your ear? Let's go to another one. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 22. We got three more after that. And then when you try to give people wise counsel on this app, which I have tried to do several times, they snap at you.
Yeah, blew up on you.
They blew up on you.
That's happened.
Nobody's even teaching that this is a thing. That's the first beginning. Look, man, first thing we need to be looking for is wise counsel. Is this wise counsel? Nobody's talking about this stuff. You know, I'm going to talk about it. Who's in your ear? You got to be careful who's in your ear. 2 Chronicles 22. Sometimes your own wife can be in your ear messing you up.
Yeah.
That's what happened with Ahaz and Jezebel.
Yeah.
She gave him some bad advice on how to get Naboth's vineyard.
You're right. Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? That was his own wife.
Mm-hmm.
She was in his ear. And then sometimes you have some good wives giving that wise counsel. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when Zipporah circumcised her and Moses' son and saved Moses'
wife. Yeah, Moses
is
mad, but the Lord, no doubt.
So don't you forget to keep the commandments of God. We got to know these things. But y'all got to be careful, man, who y'all have in y'all ear. And a lot of y'all got y'all got some bad counselors in y'all ears. Boy, y'all got bad advisors in y'all ears. I just go in your clubhouse room. I ain't even got to go in the room. I'm in the hallway. I didn't look at the title. Man, who advised you to do that? Who put that in your head? Whose idea was that? Right? 2 Chronicles 22, 1 to 4. We'll read about Ahaziah. No, the king of Judah. Go ahead and read. Watch what it says about him.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead and read.
Okay, cool. My phone went off for a minute. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead.
Mm-hmm.
For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the elders. So Ahaziah, the son of Jeroboam, king of Judah, reigned.
Mm-hmm.
42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri.
Now look what it says. His mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. That's very important. Keep reading. Because it's mentioning his mom for a reason. Go ahead and read.
3. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly.
What did it say? He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Why? For his mother was his counselor, his advisor, to do wickedly. This man's own mama. But remember I told you, who's the real power behind the king?
The counselor.
And his mama was one of his counselors. I keep telling y'all, y'all think the power is in the king. Power is in the counselor. Because that's who the king listened to. Most of the time.
Most of the time, right. I'm glad you said that.
What? But you need good counsel. You need a king. It said his mama advised him to do wickedly. That means she was just telling him, do wicked. Whatever wrong, do that. He was telling him to do wicked. And y'all trying to tell me y'all don't think anybody around here doing this today? We don't got no bad counselors or bad advisors around here today. We ain't got nobody bad in our ears. See, nobody talking about this. There's a lot of stuff y'all are just being deprived of on this app because don't nobody want to talk about it. All y'all want to do is argue about the same old mess all day, every day. It is better all people can be saved. Is there a Trinity? You know, don't they favorite top two?
Right. That's up there.
You know what
that's
I'm saying? Same old, same old. It's Esau the white man. But stuff we need to be talking about, y'all don't want to talk about that. We got some bad advisors around here, y'all, and we got to get them out of our ear. We got to separate from them. We got to stop standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. We got to stop doing that. Because when we do that, we're taking the advice of the wicked. That's what y'all are doing. Y'all listen to the advice of the wicked. I can see how y'all acting.
Yeah.
I be checking out y'all Facebook pages and Instagram pages. Some of the stuff y'all be posting on there, I'm like, is this really coming from a believer? Sexually explicit jokes and stuff from Israelite sisters. Got Israel right in the name. Posting sexually explicit jokes and memes. Talking about you a virtuous woman. I see it on Instagram too. Who advised you to do that? Who made you think that was a good idea? Like this brother, his mother was telling him to do wickedly. But it wasn't just all. Read verse 4 as well.
4. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. For they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction.
So it says, wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. For they, the house of Ahab, you know, along with his mother, were his counselors. They were his advisors. That was his team. He had a bad team. Right?
Yeah.
After the death of his father to his destruction. Wait a minute. It just told you right here that his counselors led him to his destruction. So you mean to tell me if I follow bad advice, it can lead to my destruction? Yes.
Yes, sir.
That's why I asked the question, who's in your ear? We see who all these guys is. Y'all better understand, this is not a game. I can tell when somebody's in somebody ill. Man, that brother don't change, man. And people rarely, not never, but rarely just drastically change on their own. They fall into a bad crowd. It happens with our kids all the time. You got a good kid, your kid just start tripping one day. What's going on with him? What's going on with her? He don't fell into a bad crowd. She don't fell into a bad crowd. Somebody is in their ear. But y'all don't think it happens with adults, though. It actually happens with adults more than it happens with children.
Yes, sir.
Who's in your ear? Who's in your ear telling you, don't like that brother, don't like that sister, I don't like her, so you shouldn't like her. I don't like him, so you shouldn't like him. Who's in your ear? You don't got to tell me. That's a rhetorical question that you answer for yourself.
Right.
But you got these people in your ear. And because you don't even know what the heck wise counseling even look like or sound like, you're not even aware that somebody's in your ear. Destroying your friendships, destroying your marriages, making you avoid real wise counselors and wise instruction. Got you acting different. Driving a wedge between you and your family members. All this stuff is a result of who's in your ear. Right? Look what happened with this guy right here. His mama, it say his mama was his counselor to do wickedly. That means she was just, when he came to her advice, mama, what should I do about this? And you know what's so funny? You got a lot of brothers today. They're a bunch of mama's boys. Mama all in their marriage, giving them bad advice. Messing up the marriage.
Very true.
See, you got a lot of mama's boys like that. What can your mama tell me? She divorced your dad when you were 2. You feel me? Now she all, and never remarried. She's had a bunch of flings. But she all in your marriage telling you how to deal with your wife. You ain't got a successful marriage under your belt, mama. Now, that's not to say that your mama can't give you any wise counsel just because of that's her background. But I'm saying if she's giving you bad advice, you got to be smart enough to recognize that. And at some point, you just got to hurt people's feelings. No offense, mama, but your marriage didn't exactly work out. I want to talk to somebody who got it right.
Mm-hmm.
No offense. I love you, Mom. We still alone for this Sunday, right? Okay, then, cool. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not listening to your advice. Sometimes you got to hurt people's feelings. You ain't trying to, but, yo, I'm not going to listen to you. And a lot of people, I keep telling y'all, a lot of people on this app is giving advice who ain't got no business giving advice. You need to sit down somewhere. Your marriage is a wreck. What can you tell me? It's a wreck, a train wreck, a dumpster fire. And you on here trying to tell me about what I need to do? You trying to give me advice? Boy, stop. Girl, stop. Y'all need to start asking them. Girl, you going through this with your husband? Let me just go ahead and just stop you right here. Are you married? Well, nah. Have you ever been married? Well, yeah, I was married once. Did he die or did y'all get a divorce? Well, you know, we got a divorce. Why? You know, ask all these questions. They all in your business. Ask them questions. No offense, but I want to talk to somebody who's in a healthy marriage currently. No offense. I don't feel bad if don't nobody want to talk to me about something that's not my area of expertise. That don't piss me off. You think Kevin going to piss me off? If he come to me, Josh, man, I don't want to ask you nothing about nuclear fusion. You think they're going to hurt my feelings? Well, thank you, Kevin, because I don't know nothing about no nuclear fusion anyway. They ain't going to hurt my feelings. I'm slick lazy anyway. I don't really be want to talk to nobody anyway. You ain't going to hurt my feelings, even if I am an expert. I keep telling y'all I'm slick lazy. I do it because, you know, the Most High say you're supposed to be industrious and hard working. I'll do it. Y'all know I'm willing to do it. Especially if I'm getting paid that $120 an hour. I'll do it. But I'm not going to cry if you just be like, well, I'd just rather give somebody else advice. Cool, you know, because I ain't really feel like talking to you anyway. You feel me? I keep it real with y'all, man. I do. I don't play no game. I'm not going to pretend. Y'all know that's how I am. Y'all know that's the truth. I will talk to you. Like, Antoine ain't going to call me up and have a real problem. I'll be like, Antoine, I don't feel like talking to you. Bye. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to drop what I'm doing. And as usual, even if I don't feel like it at first, once we get to talking, you know, I develop an interest for the conversation, and now I'm enjoying it and I'm engaged in it. That's how it goes with me. Mm-hmm. But if Antoine called me up, I'm like, man, I think I'm going to call Elder David about this one, John. All right, bye. Get back to watch my Netflix and Hulu. You feel me? We'll talk another time. I keep it real with y'all, man. But let's move on. Now let's deal with what it's talking about the counselor, and we got two more after that. Let's go back to the Apocrypha. Y'all better realize who's in your ear. This is, we're going back to C-Rock or Ecclesiasticus, chapter 37. People be turning you against your friends, your husband, your wife, your parents, other people who've never done anything to you.
Yeah.
Because that's that bad advice. Who's in your ear? Whose ear are you in? Yeah, I don't think it was the other way around too, right?
For sure. It's on 106, right?
Let me get that with you. I said Ecclesiastes 37, 106, and let's see. I'm still trying to hear myself. Let's see, 37, as I said.
Yep.
106, and we're reading 8 to 11, and then we're going to skip. This is about the type of counselors to beware of. I want y'all to pay attention to this, right? Who's in your ear? It's all over the Bible. Nobody talk about it. Not on this app. Very few people are talking about it. Right? Go ahead and read.
C-Rock 37, verse 8. Beware the counselor and know before what needs have.
It says beware. Hold on. Let me break this down. It says beware of a counselor, an advisor, and know before what need he have, like what he needs. Because you're trying to see if his advice is genuine or if he's just trying to profit from manipulating you with his advice.
Yeah.
That's why I said no. See, a lot of y'all don't know. Y'all just listening to people. Just taking everybody's advice. So continue reading. What does it say?
For he will counsel for himself.
It says, boy, hold up. For he will do what?
Counsel for himself.
For he will counsel for himself. That means the advice he's giving you is really to benefit him.
Mm.
He has an ulterior motive. Who's in your ear? Why is that person in that other camp telling you, don't listen to Josh? Is it because Josh is really a bad person? Or is that person just giving you advice to benefit himself? What benefit does he have to gain for telling you, don't listen to Josh, don't listen to Kevin, don't listen to Ariel? What benefit does he have to gain or she has to gain? See, we got to be thinking like that. I always tell y'all, look for motive. Didn't I tell y'all that last week? Look for motive. Y'all got to make sure when you go to somebody for advice, is the advice they're giving you to benefit you or to benefit them? Go ahead and read.
Ye shall cast a lot upon thee and say unto thee, that way is good. And afterward, he said on the other side, what shall befall thee?
He said, lest he cast a lot upon you, right? Y'all know what casting lots was, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of like telling you something like, it's like kind of like a form of gambling or taking a chance, right? Like, he tells you to take
roll
a chance.
Knife.
Right, roll the knife. He tells you to take a chance, right? He says, he can cast a lot upon thee and say unto you, your way is good. Telling you what you want to hear.
Hmm.
Right? Telling you what you're doing. You're doing a good job. Keep up what you're doing. And then it says, and afterward, he stand on the other side to see what shall befall thee. You know where he stand and watch,
wow.
Watch the fireworks.
Right. Wow.
Happen to you. You got to be careful who's giving you advice. Some people give you advice to destroy you because they don't really like you. They're jealous of you. Like they're jealous of your marriage. The bitter single sister. Jealous of your marriage. So she's giving you advice to destroy your marriage. Y'all don't be thinking about this stuff. You got to be careful who you take advice from. Who's in your ear. Continue.
10. Consult not with the one that
suspected
thee.
It says, consult not with one that suspected thee. That means don't try to go get counseling for somebody who don't trust you.
Mm.
Don't go to them for counseling if they don't trust you, but on the other hand, you read it.
And hide thy counsel from such as envy thee.
And hide your counsel from such that envy thee. Don't give advice to people who you think are jealous of you. Why am I going to give you advice for? If you're jealous of me, that means you're trying to take me down. So it's telling you, hide your advice from those who are jealous of you. I'm not going to help you take me down. If I give you advice, that's going to help you, and you're going to use that to take me down.
Right.
This is some good counsel about counsel, isn't it?
Man, it is. Yeah, it's a big one right here, man.
Right? Keep going.
Mm-hmm. 11. Neither consult with a woman touching her of whom she is jealous.
It said, neither consult with a woman touching her of whom she is jealous. You don't ask a woman advice about another woman she's jealous of. You think she's going to tell you right?
No.
You think she's going to give you some good advice?
Absolutely not.
You do not do that. I'm not going to ask one sister on this app advice about how to deal with another sister on this app, and I know the sister I'm asking is jealous of the other sister on the app.
Right.
You know, all she going to do is just drag that other sister. Yeah, you don't need to say nothing to her. You need to just cut off. Don't bleed nothing. She say don't do nothing to you. Get away from her. You got to be careful. And there's a lot of enemies on this app. You feel me? I ain't talking about we got enemies. I'm saying there's a lot of people who are enemies. And you're going to the enemy of one person to get advice about the other person who's their enemy. That is crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think she's going to tell you? especially if the advice you want from the sister is how to get with the other sister, and the first sister wants you herself. She ain't gonna give you no advice. It's like if a woman got a crush on you, and you know the woman got a crush on you, but you're going to go to her to ask her advice on how to get with another chick.
Exactly. You're right.
Yeah, she might give you some advice, all right, but it ain't gonna, that advice ain't going to help you get that other chick. I tell you that.
Not at all.
It ain't going to help you get her.
Not at all.
Right? And y'all see this stuff on sitcoms and stuff all the time, and soap operas and stuff. This stuff happens all the time.
Yep. All the time.
Right? But go ahead and read. What else to say?
Neither with a coward in the matters of war.
Neither with a coward in matters of war. You don't go get advice about war from a coward, because a coward don't know anything about war. They're too scared to fight. You guys are telling you, basically in a roundabout way, go to people who are experts about what you need advice on. So I'm not going to go to a divorcee about marriage. I'm going to go to a divorcee about divorce. You follow what I'm saying? But not about marriage, because that's the opposite. That's what we do. Hey, my marriage is on the rocks. Me and my husband, we've been fighting a lot lately. I need some counseling. I know I'm going to go to my single friend who's been divorced 3 times and got 6 illegitimate children from one night stands, and I'm going to ask for her advice. What? And you got 5 and 6 elder couples in your count and who you just know in general who've been married 25, 30, 40 years. But you ain't going to ask them nothing. Know who's in your ear, sisters and brothers. Keep reading, man.
Nor with a merchant concerning exchange.
Nor with a merchant concerning exchange. If you keep seeing the pattern of this, you can see that all of this stuff is like the opposite. You follow what I'm
right.
saying? It's like the opposite. Like, you don't go to somebody about the opposite of what they have no experience in. Right? And that's what we do. Go ahead and read.
Nor with the buyer of sex.
Nor would a buyer of selling. If I am an expert in buying, you don't ask my advice about something that's the opposite of what I do, which is selling. Real simple. Continue.
Nor would the envious man of thankfulness.
And other translations make envious mean stingy or a miser. So you don't go to a stingy man about being thankful or grateful, right? Because he don't know anything about being grateful. That's why he's so selfish. But continue.
Nor would the unmerciful man touching kindness.
Nor would an unmerciful man touching kindness. And I can throw one of these in here myself. You also don't go to a prejudiced man or a racist man about not being a respecter of a person.
Right.
Because we got people on this app that tell you straight up, we're racist. We're prejudiced. You think they gonna be able to, they don't know anything about justice. The Bible tells you that a person that has respect of persons is blind to justice. They don't know anything about it. Why would I listen to your advice on anything? Respect of persons is your nature. You can do it with anything that's right and the opposite and say you don't go to the opposite. You can think anything. Right? Continue.
Nor would the slothful for any work.
Nor to the slothful for any work. You don't go to no lazy man concerning getting work done. That's simple. And it's about in the sense of counseling, like advice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It ain't talking about you trying to go actually get him to move some furniture for you. It means advice. You don't want the advice of a lazy man concerning the job. His advice is going to be lazy.
Right.
Right? Continue, please.
Nor would the hireling for a year of finishing work.
Nor would a hireling for a year of finishing work. Other translations say for a man that doesn't finish work concerning something, somebody that does get work done.
Okay.
Because a hireling is like a temporary worker, like a temp.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you.
You follow what I'm saying? You don't go to no, you don't talk to no temp. You don't want the advice from no temp. Have you ever worked on a job before, Kevin, and you was a temp? Right? The boss ain't going to come to you asking you a temp about a long-term project on the job. Man, I'm just a temp, man. What you asking me this for?
Why? I ain't going to be there.
Right, I'm not going to be there when you get to that point of the job. That's all I'm saying.
Right, okay.
But go ahead and read.
Nor with the idle servant of much business.
You don't go to somebody who's idle. Idle is just somebody that's standing around all day doing nothing or waste time on unimportant stuff. You know, like 90% of the people on this app to be talking about idle stuff that don't really matter. You know, I don't, Josh ain't going to come to none of them about no business because they ain't going to get nothing done.
Right.
You too busy just idle in the way on Clubhouse. Right? You don't go to them. You know, for advice. It's about advice now. Right? It ain't about you actually trying to do stuff with it. It's about advice. Continue, please.
Hearken not unto these any matter of counsel.
It said, hearken not to these in any matter of counsel. That means don't listen to any advice they give you.
Right.
All this is essentially saying is, only talk to people, get advice from people who know what they're talking about, who got some expertise. That's who you need to have in your ear. That's all this is saying. And he's just getting very technical with it to let you see how simple it is.
Right.
You know, when I talk about wise counsel, and nobody concerned with who's in their ear, I'm going to put it out here and I'm going to let it be known. That's why we like all the foolishness and the madness. Somebody opened up a room about Captain Tazaria beefing with WAC 100, 300-500 people in the room. Because we like that kind of stuff. But somebody talk about treat your wife right, stop slandering your brother, right? You'll be lucky if you get 50 people in there.
Yeah.
That's how I know this app is broken from a religious standpoint of view. Clubhouse is broken, y'all. That is my assessment of it. It's broken. It's a broken app. Most people who come on this app talking about religious stuff, they doing that all for them. They're trying to glorify self. They ain't really trying to help our people. That's crazy. Coppizar and WAC 100 got into it over a disagreement on when Tupac's stuff started being good.
Wow.
It wasn't even a biblical disagreement. I heard the video. That's ultimately what it led to. Ain't nowhere in the world Brother Josh going to be over here arguing about a dead man. His music, when did it officially get good? I'm not getting any residuals from Tupac's record sales. Ain't nobody cut me no check. I'm not going to be on here arguing back and forth with some old nonsense like that, especially if I claim I'm coming from a spiritual standpoint of view. The worldly carnal people do ignorant stuff like that. And even from a carnal perspective, that's stupid. You know something is wrong when from a carnal perspective, people are like, man, that's dumb. When the carnal is saying it's dumb, and you want to be spiritual and you caught up in that? That is crazy. But it all came from you standing in the way of sinners. Don't deal with them. Move away from them. That's advice I shouldn't have to give somebody like that. Because I already know they know. And I have a strong philosophy about advising people on stuff I know they already know. I don't like to do that. It's like, man, you already know. Right? So it says, hearken not unto thee, in any manner of counsel, right? Now skip down and read verse 16.
Verse 16, okay. Sheba 37 and 16. It says, let reason go before every enterprise and counsel before every action.
Let reason go before every enterprise. I mean, think about everything before you do it. Counsel before every action. If you're going to make any major moves or significant moves in your life, get advice first. Wise counsel. See, the Hebrews believed in this stuff. They knew the value of wise counsel. We don't debate. Because we too busy opening up rooms with the title, Who Wants the Smoke? Why don't you open up a room titled, Who Wants Some Wise Counsel? All 10 of them people going to show up. Because we don't want wise counsel. And the crazy part is, we need that more than anything. We run from the stuff we need, and we flee toward the stuff that's hurting us. All we want to do is beat each other down. Who wants the smoke? Who wants the smoke? Who want to debate me? I'm starting to wonder if we hate each other, man. I'm not saying that we should never debate. I'm not saying that some people should never get that smoke. But I'm saying that's all we want to do is give people the smoke. All we want to do is humiliate and take each other down. What happened to us wanting to help each other? See, counseling is about helping each other. And it has the same meaning today. Sometimes we call it therapy. Therapy comes from a Greek word that literally means to heal. And you got people, I'm going to get therapy. Therapy don't work. Therapy literally means healing through counseling. And black people, the first people jump up, I don't believe in therapy. You don't believe in being healed through counseling.
Right.
You don't want nobody to talk to you. A fool believes his way is right. But a wise man listens to advice. That's what we read. Not even realizing one way or another, we're still getting advice from people. Why do y'all think psychologists get paid so much money? Because the world knows the value of wise counseling. We just don't. I ain't gonna go no shrink. That dude won't $200 an hour. He crazy. No, you crazy. That's why you need the shrink. You feel me? He ain't crazy. You crazy. That's why you need the shrink. He knows the value of his craft. And I'm the same way. I give wise counseling. My counseling works. It's effective. I'm not likable. I ain't claiming none of that. But my testimony is true. Brother Josh don't give bad advice. I give wise counseling because it's all backed by the book. Everything I tell you to do, backed by the book. All of it. So if it don't work, it's because you didn't apply it or the person you're dealing with is not applying it or both of y'all not applying it. Right? So do nothing without reasoning or advice. If it's not, it's major. Like, don't be hitting me up in my back chat saying, asking me questions like, Josh, what should I cook for breakfast tomorrow morning? You will get ignored. Don't take it that literally. Man, it's, hey, don't do nothing without advice. What do you recommend? Girl, if you don't get out my back chat. You feel me? I don't mean it like that. It's talking about important stuff, y'all. Don't ask me what you should cook for breakfast unless you invite me over for breakfast. That's nothing. Don't ask me no advice about no food unless I'm eating with you. That's one thing Ariel ain't never did. Ariel have asked my advice about, like, what to cook or what he think he should cook. Like, when he invited me over, he asked for my input about what he think him and his wife should try to put on the grill or cook in the oven or whatever because I'm eating with him. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I wish Ariel would call me up one day. Yeah, Josh, man, I'm thinking about putting some lamb chops in the oven, man, and season. What you think about that? And that's it. You want to come get some? I'm going to hang up on Ariel, man. Why the dude teasing me? You follow what I'm saying? I keep it real, y'all. Don't be playing with me like that. Don't be playing with my emotions when it comes to that food. Do not do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm real thick with it when it comes to that food. Real big. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. Now, let's go to the last two. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Let's see who the greatest counselor ever was. Because remember I said the counselor is the true power behind the king, right?
Right.
Except when the king is the king and the counselor. You understand?
It's
Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Read, please.
Isaiah 9.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given,
mm-hmm.
and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
And this is a prophecy talking about Jesus. It said, for unto us a child is born. This is messianic, in other words, messianic prophecy. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. Wait a minute. Ain't nobody ever sat down and asked themselves, why is he called Counselor in this prophecy? Anybody ever asked themselves, Kevin? You ever asked yourself that before?
No, I haven't.
But you've read this many times, haven't you?
Many times.
Right? It says Counselor. Right? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Stone that's about the Concordance, and we're going to look up the word translated counselor in this verse. And it's 3289 in the Hebrew section. The word translated counselor, 3289 in the Hebrew section. And the word is ya'at, ya'at. And it says a primitive root. Look what the first definition is. To advise reflexively to deliberate or resolve. You know, doing the resolve, so I mean like solving a problem, right?
Solving a problem.
Right? Advertise, take advice, advise, well, consult. You talk about a consultant, right? That's somebody who gives advice. Give or take, counsel, counselor, determine, devise, guide, purpose. So the prophecy told you that the Messiah would be called Counselor. That means the Messiah is an advisor. He gives advice. If you want advice, you go to Jesus, Yeshua, Yahushua, whatever name you call him. Because it literally tells you in prophecy he's going to be a counselor. But he also, it tells you he shall be, the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he's called the Everlasting Father not because he's God the Father. In ancient Hebrew culture, the rabbis, the teachers, were also known as fathers. I can do a whole class showing you that. So this is a reference to him being a teacher. That's why Jesus himself came on earth saying, call no man father. You know, in a dang near worshiping sense. But I can show y'all a whole class on that. And it says, the Everlasting Father, meaning he's eternal, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. All of these titles that we can all get behind, but don't nobody ever talk about the counselor part, do they, Kevin?
Right.
And then when he came on the scene, Jesus was going to be giving advice. And when you go to the New Testament, that's all you see him doing. He ain't just teaching, he's giving advice. One of the synonyms for counsel means to instruct, to guide. Was Jesus an instructor? Yes. Was he a guide? Yes. Let's go to the last one and get an example of that. Let's go to Revelation 3. Who is in your ear? Jesus in my ear. Is he in y'all ear? Because it's hard for me to believe that when, based on the way I see a lot of y'all moving. It's really hard for me to believe that. Somebody else in y'all ear. Y'all know that y'all always say, the devil whisper to us. You whispering to people ill. Y'all better understand this stuff. Somebody in your ear. How you moving? Or you in somebody ill. Giving them bad counsel, bad advice. Corrupting people, your bad counsel. And then sitting back and see what happens to them. Because you give me bad advice, that means you don't like me. That means you hate me. Counsel is about healing. It's about correction. That's what it's about. I'm trying to heal my people. I'm trying to correct my people. I'm trying to point them in the right direction. Y'all got to understand, everybody on this app ain't interested in that. You think Jonadab was trying to correct Amnon?
No.
You think Ahithophel was trying to correct Absalom?
No.
You think Ahaziah's mother will try to correct him? It says she counts, she was his counselor to do wickedness. Like, it literally means she was his advisor to do wickedness. See, a lot of y'all got Jafar's as counselor. Y'all remember Aladdin? I ain't talking about that bad remake with Will Smith. I'm talking about the original Aladdin, the animated Aladdin. Y'all remember that? Remember the Sultan, Jasmine's father, Jafar?
Yeah.
Oh, Jafar, my most trusted advisor. Dude literally walked around in black with a snake staff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's even showing you in little kid movies. You can have some bad counselors. And the Sultan was too stupid to realize that. Even as a kid watching that, I was like, man, this king is so stupid. He cannot tell this dude is evil. And then the cartoon takes it a step further and has him literally hypnotizing him with the serpent's staff. He was literally hypnotizing and influencing the king. It escalated from just bad counseling or bad advice to him literally brainwashing the king to do his bidding. In a little kid's cartoon, it was telling you how bad advisors work. Some of y'all don't graduate to just listening to bad advice. A lot of y'all staring straight into the eyes of that snake staff and being hypnotized into doing what your so-called most trusted advisors want you to do. So y'all don't understand that this is deep. Counseling, if in the hands of the wrong person, can be a form of hypnosis. That's why when you go to some counselors, they actually specialize, no therapists, they specialize in hypnotism. It ain't enough for me just to tell you what to do. I have to literally hypnotize you into doing it. That was going on back in the day. They had sorcerers and stuff playing mind games with people. Don't make me pull out a class on that. I can show y'all from movies, from television shows. That's why in that movie Aladdin, as soon as they first introduced LeVar, Jafar. I'm thinking about LeVar. Jafar. Not zero tolerance, y'all. Jafar.
Not zero.
Yeah. As soon as they introduced him, Jafar, my most trusted advisor. As a kid, I'm like, you can't see the dude evil? You feel me? They just sent all kinds of messages. And then, who was Jafar's best friend? A parrot, Iago. What does a parrot do? Just echo and repeat whatever you say.
Yeah.
They throw all kinds of symbolism at you. Don't get me started on these movies. I be catching all the subliminals. You follow what I'm saying? That's what they be doing. And what did Jafar eventually do? He took over the kingdom. You know, Aladdin eventually defeated him. I'm telling y'all, man. And it all started because this dude had a bad counselor. He had a bad counselor. Y'all better pay attention to these subliminals in these little Disney movies. Disney, let me tell y'all something, man. Disney is a snitch.
Oh, big guy.
Disney was a snitch. He was a subliminal snitch. He was a dry snitch. That's what he was. He was a dry snitch. Because he didn't just come right out. But Disney was a dry snitch. These advisors and stuff, y'all better pay attention to this. Sometimes you got good advisors in movies, DreamWorks. But I watched Kung Fu Panda 2, Part 2, where Shin had a goat advisor trying to tell him, give him good advice. He wouldn't listen. She even told him in prophecy, if you don't listen, you're going to come to your own destruction. These movies be knowing. That's why counseling is expensive, because it's very valuable. That's why I throw $120 an hour. Straight up. Last one, Revelation 3, 14 to 18.
Revelation 3, verses 14. And you read, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
And this is Jesus talking about himself. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, That means the faithful. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's talking about Jesus. Read verse 15.
I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot.
Mm-hmm.
So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
So Jesus said, I wish you were cold or hot. Pick a lane. But since you're neither cold nor hot, you're straddling the fence, I will spew you out of your mouth. You can't straddle the fence in this, y'all. Right? But watch what else he said, verse 17.
17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with good, and I have need of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind.
Look what this church is saying. Because you say, I am rich and increase with good, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So they thought they were rich because they had material things. But spiritually, they were poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Now read the next one.
18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich.
Hold on. Read the first part of that all the way up to that word rich real slow. Really fast. Read again.
Mm-hmm. I counsel.
Hold on, I counsel thee. If you look that word up in the Greek, it literally means advise you. He's giving advice. This is Jesus giving advice. Y'all didn't know Jesus gave advice? Now, read again in real time. Go ahead.
I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see.
So he's giving them advice. I counsel thee, I advise thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. He's only telling them, y'all need to get right spiritually. Stop thinking you're rich materially and get rich spiritually. Get your eyes right so you can see. Clothe your nakedness with white raiment, which represents righteousness in the Bible. Right? Cover up your nakedness. See, this is what y'all have to understand. He's giving them advice, and let's see what he says they will get. Skip down and read verse 21, and that's it.
Revelations 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne.
But what they have to do, and this is a universal promise, by the way, even though he just talked to the Laodiceans here about the problems they were having in their church, but the promise is still universal. He said, if they overcome, I will grant them to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and I sat down with my Father in his throne. So what would they have to do to achieve this? They have to follow his advice. Notice that Jesus could have easily said, I command you. He could have easily said that, couldn't he, Kevin? Or I order you, or I charge you. He said, I counsel you. I advise you. I instruct you. I'm guiding you. But then again, that's what the prophecy says the Messiah would be doing.
Right.
So Jesus is the ultimate king and counselor. That's why the Bible calls him counselor, because counselors usually control the king. But Jesus is the king and the counselor, meaning nobody is above him but the Father. So, sisters and brothers, I have shown you wise counsel. It's up to you to answer the second part of this title. Who's in your ear? Because one way or another, somebody is in your ear. You need to make sure that whoever is in your ear, I'm not talking about you just listening to them teach. I mean, people who you talk to behind the scenes, counseling you, give you advice, whatever you want to call it. You need to make sure you know who's in your ear, because if it's the wrong counselor, the same thing is going to happen to you that happened to everybody else in the scriptures that had bad counselors. They're going to counsel you to your own destruction. We'll be back after these brief announcements. All right, then, everybody. All right, then. All right, then. Appreciate everybody sticking around. First of all, we'd like to thank everybody once again for coming out to study with us today. It's starting to get dark later, so I'm kind of jumping back and forth between the room opening at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Whichever one it is, it's a 30-minute difference overall, and I'll just make sure y'all know when y'all log on to the app. It's going to tell you what time the room is. So right now, we're bouncing back and forth between 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when the room opens or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know it's going to be one of them. If anybody is interested in ordering a past class, you can go on my thumbnail for this information that I'm about to give, and you can go to our website address. The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. And I've seen some people have been taking advantage of the online store, getting caught up on stuff we've been teaching that they never heard, and just a genuine interest in some of the, I'll say, deeper topics that we got on the online store. So if nothing else, go on there and check it out so that you can just get an understanding of what we teach and what we're about. If nothing else, even if you don't get anything, you'll know where we're coming from. Also, if anybody's interested in making a donation, if you just feel blessed by what you're hearing and would like to show some support, show some love, whatever you want to call it, you can do so one of two ways. This information is also on my thumbnail under my bio. The first way, of course, is through PayPal using our email address, meaning you can also email us at this address if you have any questions or comments or trying to contact us. That email address, if you want to donate through PayPal, is absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's absolutebibletruth4eva@yahoo.com. You don't spell out the word four, you type the numerical digit four. So again, absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. And of course, the other way is through Cash App, using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM s. Again, that's $ABTM s, and that simply stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries, right? So at this time, we're going to have Ariel come on, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity. He's going to give a brief summary of today's class as well as any announcements he has. Ariel, are you there, sir?
Hello, can you hear me?
You're loud and clear on my end, sir.
Awesome. All praise to